Right, we've promised you a conversation with Sand Parks around the dog walking issue. Let me tell you what the rules say. On the Sand Parks website, I pulled off the code of conduct in preparation for the interview today. And I can tell you that there is a clear code of conduct and rules and etiquette, etc. To do with this very issue. There is the issue of compliance with the rules and then the issue of etiquette for dog walkers. In terms of compliance, walking with dogs may only occur in designated areas as set out on the maps which are available on the Sand Parks website, and they cover the Cecilia Forest area, they cover Silvermine, Noatuk Beach, etc. and more. There is also the issue of the permit, the valid activity permit issued in your name for the person walking the dog. They must be under effective control of the handler at all times. Should the handler or their dog cause an incident, the dog will be deemed to be out of control and the handler can be held liable. Dog handlers must always carry a leash and dogs must be leashed. So that is pretty unambiguous. Let's bring in Lauren Clayton, who has stepped in to take over the interview, Regional Communications Manager for Sand Parks. Lauren, thank you for stepping in to help this afternoon. That code of conduct says emphatically dogs must be on a leash. Does that apply to all areas in the Table Mountain National Park?
Yes, it does. If you look at the various areas that you step into with your dogs, there are signs up that says the dogs must be leashed at all times, and also a sign that says to pick up after your dog as you're walking them in the park.
Yeah. The reason we, by the way, for those wondering why we're talking about it today, I read out a mail yesterday or the day before from our listener, Carlos, who'd shared photographs of any number of doggy landmines that had been picked up on his latest walk. And he experienced several encounters with aggressive dogs. And he was saying, you know, why isn't this being managed better? So the signage is there, Lauren, that the dogs have to be on their leads and that it is an obligation on the person walking the dog to pick up after them. The wording is, if the handler is unable to control the dog or if it is aggressive or otherwise dangerous, that will not be allowed. Now, obviously, you can't check every dog and every person entering the path. Sort of, how do you manage that then?
So over the years, we've run campaigns to create more of an awareness for the dog users so that they have to have their dogs on a leash. And also, if their dog is out of control, I mean, we've seen some dog owners that walk with muzzles over the dogs so that they have some type of control so that, you know, it doesn't spiral out of control. So with our rangers, we're visible. They do check that you have your activity permits. And in most cases or some cases, our rangers have intervened where dogs were actually fighting with each other and owners couldn't control them. So it's sometimes quite a stressful environment to be in.
Okay. Lauren, obviously the picking up after your dog, you would imagine, would be common sense and just decent good manners to one another, but clearly not all people see it that way. What is the best course of action if you are aware of a dog walker on the mountain who is not playing ball and is leaving behind landmarks? Do you encourage their fellow park users to challenge them on it, to point it out, to ask that they pick up?
We also have some organizations that are quite active in working with us in, you know, running the whole dog pool campaign, picking up after your dogs. I mean, there's also, like, you know, Bonnie buy your dog poo degradable bags that you could use, and, you know, it's safe to put in your car, take back home with you and throw it away. Or there are bins provided outside of the park to actually, you know, throw your dog poo away. So there's a lot of activations going on, but I mean, it's about changing the perception of the dog user. I mean, you wouldn't leave your dog poo lying around at home, so why leave it lying around in the national park?
Well, exactly. You wouldn't want it on your front lawn, so why would you leave it on a lawn that everybody else is sharing with you? We've got a caller on the line who wants to, I think, get some clarity on the dog permit info. If you can stay with us, Lauren. Julian in Greenpoint, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon. Yes, I've also just been looking at the same website now to update what I remembered, and it is confusing. The on a leash, if you look at the whole thing, it's on a leash, colon, and then there's three specific situations where the dog has to be on a leash. Otherwise, they can be off their leash in the Sand Parks area. There's also, if you look on that same document, it also seems to say that you only need this activity permit in parts of the Table Mountain where there's a charge for admission. like silver mine, and I'm not sure if you need it anywhere else. When I've been on the pipe track from the Kloof Neck end or up Lion's Head, there's no signage about it at all. But if I go onto the pipe track from Camps Bay, then there's a sign that you need a permit. What if you're coming from the other way? And there's a phone number for inquiries for that dog walking activity permit somewhere in the southern suburbs. I'm not quite sure where the office is. Definitely. But I tried phoning that for a number of weeks, a couple of times a day, and I've never, ever got an answer on that number. So I've never been able to check up what the actual situation is.
Lauren, would you like to respond and maybe offer some clarity?
Hi, Carlo. The activity permit, there are certain zones where the permit is required. Like you mentioned, for example, the Silver Mine Dam area, as well as Scarborough Beach, Newlands Forest, and Noto Beach. But there's also no-go zones that, you know, that explains everything on the activity permit. So the number you have dialed, is it the one in Tokai?
I'm not sure. It's the one that's on, there's a PDF guide to dog walking on the Sandparks website.
Yes.
Okay.
So, hello.
Yeah, Lauren, so whatever number it is that's been shared on that site, it seems like some attention is needed to the manning of that number. Julian is not the first person to have mentioned that to you, that it's not sort of routinely answered. Just going back to the issue of the leashes, I'm looking on the site now, and I can see what Julian is talking about, where the confusion may come in, because there are sort of a set of criteria here saying dogs must be leashed upon instruction from any park official as required by any official park notice or signage while passing through designated parking areas, picnic areas, and braai sites, and if the handler is unable to control the dog or if it is aggressive or otherwise dangerous. Does that mean there are some areas, sorry, just to try and get clarity, does that mean there are some areas where you can let a dog off a leash if it doesn't tick one of those boxes I've just listed?
Yes, it is. We do see some dog owners with dogs that are quite well behaved and that are deemed acceptable to let off the leash. But we also strongly encourage the people to keep their dogs on the leash so that it, you know, it avoids any trouble with other users of the park and also other dog handlers. So, yeah, we do, even though there are some areas where you can let your dog off the leash, it is encouraged to keep your dog on the leash at all times.
Right, a comment on the WhatsApp line, someone saying, why not have more designated dog parks where dogs are free to enjoy those spaces? A few bad owners give us all a bad name, is the comment. Do you think that's a fair comment, Lauren, that it is it a handful of people who are really being irresponsible and not being good sort of civic-minded users of the space, or is it a larger problem than that?
It is a handful of people. You do get dog users that are very friendly and also adhere to the rules that, and the code of conduct that has been set out. So if we do come across those who do bend the rules or break the rules, we do encourage them to actually adhere to it and, you know, educate themselves about how to go about, you know, walking your dogs in the park and what not to do. But, yeah, with regards to the safer zones or the areas where the dogs can walk, I think that is something that we can look at going forward.
Okay. Lauren, we've got a couple of voice notes that have come through. I'm going to ask you to stay on the line and take a listen to those in case any of them want a direct response from you. Let's hear a couple.
Hi, this is Tia. I'm just wanting connection with the previous caller about dogs on leash. I live in Constantia and I've got three dogs. And the area that I can walk, especially move it because it's close to the green belt, unfortunately, you have to have your dog on a lead, but I've got an ankle injury and it's sometimes difficult to handle all three dogs, and dogs should roam free and most dogs are socialized when it's not their territory. But I do agree with the lady and I have got sympathy, and I think there should be some kind of a way where one can get an accredited, that you can go to a dog trainer and have your dog declared socialized and not a danger for other walkers. I've got two dogs that are absolutely harmless in every sense and that have never actually even gone close to a dog or interfered with anything. But I have got one dog that is very insecure and barks and sort of has this attack mode. And I always take a lead for him and put him on the lead as soon as I see another dog. I do take it off where there's nobody, but I put it immediately on. He's quite obedient. He will come. But I just feel, yeah, that we need to find a solution that is, you know, acceptable for everybody. I've seen old people walking with their dogs that can't have these big dogs on leads. And, yeah, I just think, like in Europe, we should have some that you can have a tag that says, look, my dog is completely socialized. Thank you.
Hi, Pippa. It is the most antisocial, selfish, awful thing to walk your dog off a leash. It's unacceptable. It prejudices the poor dog. And if it approaches a dog that's on a lead, the dog on the lead is terribly uncomfortable because it's at a disadvantage. And there has been an incident where I heard the previous caller talk about a Yorkie running up to a dog on a lead. There was an incident where a small dog, who supposedly under voice control, runs up to a large dog, and the large dog bit it and killed it. And the owner of the small dog, which was off the leash, was very, very upset about it all. But had she had her dog on a leash, that wouldn't have happened.
Those are two very interesting comments. Thank you so much. I mean, Lauren, Tia's reference to some kind of declaration that your dog is a well-trained one that responds to voice command, etc., or some kind of tag designating that before they're allowed off the lead. Is that something Sandparks has ever considered?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, that sounds like a good idea and something that I can flag with the management. Also, going into the new park management plan coming up soon. So maybe in the near future, that is something that we can adopt. I mean, if it's worked, it's not, you know, it's worth a trial and error.
Okay. Lauren, just one final question. In the meantime, while we muddle our way through the situation where not everyone plays by the rules, is there a sort of a place to report the antisocial, reckless behavior by dog users who aren't following up? Would you like people to be flagging it with you?
Yes, please. I mean, we have a very active social media page called Table Mountain National Park, Sandparks Table Mountain National Park, where you can send your messages through, because I know sometimes emails, you know, disappear for some strange reason. And there's also the contact number, which is 0721-712-7471, which you can also report various incidents to.
Are there any kind of fines in place if somebody is found actively disobeying the rules?
And there has been incidents where residents were fined with regards to not having an activity permit, which allows you two dogs per permit holder. So they were fined 500 rand, as well as, well, it depends on the situation where it goes up higher, even higher than that. So, yeah. We do have a fining system, and we have implemented it before.
Lauren Clayton, thank you so much for stepping in at very, very short notice to take on that interview. Lauren is the Regional Communications Manager for Sandparks.